Hello, everybody. Some 14 miles by road west of Charing Cross in London is a large area which, a few short years ago, was the site of a few isolated cottages, perhaps a small farm or two. In 7 years, that several thousand acres of land has become a scene of 20th century endeavor, of hustle, bustle, and activity which goes on for 24 hours a day. It is world famous. It is visited by many hundreds of thousands of people each year, and every year that number grows. It is the London Airport, stepping-off place for thousands of travellers to all parts of the globe every day. I'd like to take you with me on a tour of this, one of the world's greatest air terminals. But before we proceed any further, it might be a good idea to learn a little more of the history of the airport and of its present activities. And who better to tell us of these things than the person who is responsible very largely for the smooth running of the whole of this vast undertaking. So here now is the Commandant of the London Airport, Air Marshal Sir John Dorbiak, KBE CB DSO. Well, Sir John, welcome to our microphone. And as a first question, can you tell us how long has the London Airport been here?
The London Airport, as a civil airport, started in January 1946. The airport did exist before then, but was a wartime airport, and it was taken over by civil aviation, as I say, about 6.5 years ago.
Well, how many acres does it cover, sir?
The present figure is 2,847 acres, which is roughly 4.5 square miles.
Well, that's a terrific size. 4.5 square miles is really quite an area. I should imagine it would handle quite a lot of traffic. Now, perhaps you can tell us, as far as traffic is concerned, how does the airport at the present rank amongst the airports of the world?
Well, of course, we are restricted for the moment because we are operating with temporary buildings and we are under construction still. At the moment, we are handling some 150 flights a day. That, in terms of passengers, means roughly 3,000 a day. In August, we actually carried 100,000 passengers in and out of the airport.
Well, how many companies would you have using the airport to handle that number of passengers, sir?
At the present moment, there are 23 different operating companies headed by our two great corporations, BOAC and BEAC.
And what would be the biggest and the most modern aircraft using the airport at the present time?
Well, I suppose the biggest from the point of view of weight is the Boeing Stratocruiser. That aircraft goes across the Atlantic daily. From a point of view of size, the DC-6B, which is designed to carry 85 passengers, is probably the largest carrying aircraft. As regards the most modern aircraft, well, of course, pride of place goes to our de Havilland Comet, and which, as you know, is operated by BOAC, with great success, and the British European Airways Elizabethan.
Well, now, sir, in walking around the airport, I've noticed quite a lot of construction work going on, excavations and huge cranes working and steam shovels and so on. That is obviously a plan of expansion. Now, could you tell us a little bit about that? What is the ultimate aim of this present plan?
Well, the plan envisages a central area where all the passengers and freight will be handled, around which will be the double runway pattern. At present, we are operating in temporary buildings on the north flank of the airport alongside the Bath Road. And in due course, we shall vacate those temporary buildings and take up residence in the permanent buildings in the centre.
And when those expansion movements are completed, how will London Airport then rank as far as passenger traffic amongst the airports of the world, sir?
Oh, well, then, of course, by then it will be the busiest and, I should imagine, the largest airport in the world and, of course, the most important.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
If you're departing from or disembarking at London Airport, your rendezvous will be the same, the huge passenger lounge or reception hall, where all the major air companies using the airport have reception and inquiry desks, where there is a cafeteria, a bar, a bank, and even a florist's, and where the noise never ceases.
Announcing the arrival of Pan American World Airways Flight 100 the President flight from New York.
A flight from New York, or it might be Geneva or Rome, Johannesburg or Sydney. In fact, it might be from anywhere in the world. But now let's leave the busy passengers' lounge and move out onto what is known as the marshalling apron at the airport. Now, there's a Stratocruiser in from New York. A Swiss airliner is just taxiing out to the takeoff runway. A Constellation is just touching down from Sydney, and down at the far end of the apron is the gleaming outline of the de Havilland Comet, waiting to take off for Johannesburg. In actual fact, a plane lands or takes off from the airport about every 4 or 5 minutes. Now, to handle this enormous amount of traffic, radio and radar are in constant use. For example, let's listen in now on the radio conversations between the airport control tower and the planes waiting to take off and lined up with their engines ticking over on the marshalling apron.
Clear for takeoff, make a right turn out, maintain Victor Foxtrot.
Love Victor, Roger. May I make a left turn as I wish to depart over the middle of the airfield, over?
Victor Roger, remain south of the railway line, over.
But by far the most fascinating aspect of aircraft control at London Airport is what is known as ground-controlled approach. This is operated from a mobile radar unit mounted in a motor truck, drawn up alongside whichever runway happens to be in use on that particular day. Inside the body of the truck, the only light comes from the faint glow of the many radio tubes and the greenish tinge from the 4 radar screens, each with its own operator. On these screens can be seen the planes as they approach the airport. And from here it is possible to guide a plane down to within a few hundred yards of the runway without the pilot of the plane seeing the ground at all. Thus, even in fog or low-lying cloud, the aircraft can still land or take off as though conditions were normal. We're now going inside the radar truck to pick up the directions which the first operator gives to the planes until they reach what is known as the talk down point.
Peter Dog Love, you're turning final 9.5 miles west, number 2 in traffic. Perform your landing checks, over. Peter Dog Love, London, there is one aircraft ahead, 1 mile, slightly to your right, BFR below cloud, DC-6, over.
Now, this operator literally guides the pilot in until the plane is about 6.5 miles distant. And then a second radar operator in the truck, known as the talk-down operator, says...
Okay, put him over then.
Peter Dog Love, London Director, 6.5 miles final. Change frequency now to 119.54, London talk-down. If no contact, return over.
And begin your descent now at the rate of 500 feet per minute. How do you read me, over? Roger, Peter Dog Love, do not acknowledge further instructions. Check your wheels down and locked. Your position is right at the center line and you are closing steadily on a heading of 090. On the glide path, 4.5 miles from touchdown.
The talk down operator brings the plane right down almost to the runway. Let's pick up the instructions from the point where the plane is just about a mile away from the drone.
1.25 miles from touchdown. Track good. Heading 097 on the glide path. On the center line, 1 mile from touchdown. On the glide path. Right 2 degrees, heading 099er. Second heading 099er. 20 feet below the glide path. 3/4 of a mile from touchdown. Track good on the center line. On the glide path, heading 099er. 0.5 mile from touchdown. On the glide path. On the center line, 400 yards from the runway, talk down completed.
From the landing point, the normal control tower on the field takes over and guides the plane into its position on the marshalling apron. Well, we can't leave the London airport without a glimpse of the glamour plane of the moment, the de Havilland Comet, a plane which we may shortly be seeing in Australia. Let's move over to the edge of the marshalling apron, where the Comet is warming up.
That noise which you can possibly hear behind my voice is one of the 4 gas turbine engines of the de Havilland Comet warming up. This plane is just leaving for Johannesburg with 36 passengers. It will reach Johannesburg in actually 17 hours and 40 minutes flying time, with about 5 1-hour ground stops on the way. And whilst flying there, it will be flying at a height of 8 miles altitude at a speed of about 8 miles a minute. You can hear that whine of the engine growing to a gigantic whistle as the motor warms up. It's actually ear-splitting here in my ears. It's quite uncomfortable standing where I am about 200 feet away from the plane. but we'll hear a lot more from it as it swings around to taxi along the marshalling apron to the takeoff runway. Now I can see one of the motors on the other side of the plane has started up. You can see the exhaust now from three of the motors. Yes, the four motors are now all running. And actually I can't hear myself speak here, so great is the intensity of the noise. There are ground crew standing right underneath the wings there of the machine. I don't know how they stand the noise, as it's almost more than I can bear standing where I am on the other side of the marshalling apron. Now the generator truck which boosts the batteries of the plane for the startup is being taken away, being drawn away by the little tractor. Any moment now the chocks will be removed from the wheels and she'll slowly move forward to a spot within quite a few feet of where we're standing here. Well, the chocks are being pulled away now. She's moving away down the runway. She's now about 200 or 300 feet away from us, moving away very smoothly down the marshalling apron, where she will then turn and taxi out onto the taking off runway.
Well, time is catching up on us once again, but there is one other section of London Airport that I'd like to tell you about, and that is the vast public enclosure. On a fine sunny summer's day, this huge area on the edge of the Drome and just near the control tower is thronged with many thousands of people who come just to look or perhaps to take a short flight over the airport and London in one of the small passenger planes operating there. In the enclosure there's a large dining room and restaurant. There are miniature train rides for the kiddies. There's a public address system to keep the visitors informed of all aircraft movements, and a passenger bus to take sightseers on a conducted tour of the 4-square-mile aerodrome. And talking of conducted tours, this is where we must conclude our tour of the world's largest airport, London Airport. I hope you've enjoyed it, and until next time, this is Denzel Howson saying goodbye now.